Hey friends, welcome to Living in His Purpose podcast, where we recognize that in God's purpose, He has the perfect spot for you. If you're a Christian woman and you're feeling overwhelmed and anxious by this rat race way of life, and you're ready to find simplicity God's way, you're in the right spot. By replacing negative mindsets and habits with God's word, we're going to give Holy Spirit permission to come in and help us walk bravely in this upside down world. These are not easy things to face, sweet friend. You're going to have to put on your big girl pants. So pull them up, grab a drink, and let's get going. Hey friends, welcome to episode 20. I feel like I'm entering a new realm of podcasting. I've made it through 10 and I've made it through 15 and now I'm at 20 episodes. Woohoo! Thanks so much for sticking with me and I hope you find this one helpful. So I know in the past I have referenced this a lot, given you a lot of information and have always suggested, hey, go read your word, be in the word, study the word. And then it occurred to me the other day, what if you don't know how to do that? What if you don't know where to start and you've not yet learned how to take being in the word to the next level? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to talk about how to get started in Bible studies, different ways to approach Bible studies. Then we're going to talk about some stumbling blocks that you might have that, you know, people, these mindsets that we have that we need to overcome and how to look at that and address that. And then if you have people in your life that need to be studying more, I'm thinking primarily teenagers, they need encouragement to study, and give you some tips on how to help with that. So studying the Bible, you can do this in any way. And I'm going to give you some options, but honestly, you need to make it your own. If it's not your own, you're not going to continue doing it. You're not going to stay in the word because you'll feel like it's a chore. So I'm going to give you some ideas and some things to think about and make it your own. Okay, so here's a simplified guide to get you started. First things first, you need to start praying. You need to pray for understanding. Before you open that book, you need to ask God for guidance and understanding. And that prayer is going to help connect you with what it is that God has for you. Then you need to choose a translation. You need to pick one that is suitable for your reading level, your preference, and we'll talk into some more details here in a little bit with that. Start with shorter books or stories. If you're new to the Bible or studying the Bible, you need to begin with shorter books or even stories to avoid feeling overwhelmed. The New Testament books like Mark, Luke, or short stories from the Old Testament like Ruth or Esther are really good starting points. You need to set aside regular time. You need to dedicate a specific time each day or week for Bible study. And consistency is key in building a habit. Check out episodes 6-9 for how to build habits and the importance as Christians to have godly habits. Next, use study guides or resources to help open up the Bible for you. You can look at commentaries, concordances, and it's going to give you more context and history and meaning behind the passages. The Blue Letter Bible website is really helpful. It's just packed full of everything. It's like everything in one place. Or there's even an app for that. It's called the Bible app. And this one can send you alerts and messages to remind you to keep going with your habit. When you're doing your Bible study, take notes. Keep a notebook or a journal to jot down key points, questions, insights as you're reading. And this can help you remember and reflect on what you've been learning. And honestly, when you go back and read that, you will see how much you have grown over a period of time. Join a study group. Consider joining a Bible study group or some type of community that can keep you accountable, give you support and opportunities for discussion and learning from others. You know, this was something that I feel like we're losing in our society. We're all individual great thinkers, and that's not how God wants us to work. You know, you look back even in Jesus' time, which was about 2,000 years ago, long time ago, and they spent a lot of time sitting together, discussing things, learning things from Jesus. And I think this is really important for all of us to come together in small groups where we can be free with what we have to say and express and learn from each other. I think that's one of the ways that God talks to us. Doing this through your local church is great. You can even do online, but I think that in person is where you're going to get the most out of your time. Finally, think about how you can apply the lessons from your study to your daily life. The Bible, it's not just a book of knowledge, but a guide for living a meaningful and purposeful life. And remember, studying your Bible, it's a lifelong journey. So be patient with yourself. Enjoy the process of discovering its wisdoms and its truths and God's personality and all that He has for every one of us. And the more that you're in it, you will want to share that with other people. So how do we approach studying your Bible? How do we do that? Well, there are a lot of different ways, but we're going to talk about three popular methods. One is called an inductive Bible study method. This is where you're observing. You're reading the passage carefully. You're noting details, themes, and patterns, and then you work into interpretation. You're looking to understand the meaning of the passage in its original context, considering its historical, culture, and linguistic factor. And then it moves into application. You're reflecting on how the passage applies to your life and what actions or changes it's prompting you to make. That's one type, inductive Bible study. Then you have your topical Bible study method. So you just choose a specific topic or theme you want to study, like love, forgiveness, faith, sin, finances, you name it, it's in there, I promise. And with the topical study, you're going to need a good concordance, topical indexes, online resources to find the relevant verses throughout the Bible so you can pull it all together and see what God has to say from the beginning to end on that topic. You need to read and analyze these verses to gain a comprehensive understanding of what the Bible's teaching you on that topic. But be very careful that you're not pulling these verses out of context of where they are laid in the page of the book. The last one I'll talk about is your verse-by-verse Bible study method. So you take a single verse or a passage and you delve deeply into its meaning. You research, again, the historical, cultural context of the passage, as well as the original languages, if you can, if you're into that kind of thing. Examine cross-references and related verses to gain a fuller understanding of that particular passage, of its meaning and implication. Now, each of these methods, they're very unique. They have benefits that will be different for each of us. Just experiment. Try different approaches. See which one resonates best with you and it meets your study goals. What is it that you want to get out of when you're in the Bible? Okay, so this particular method that I'm going to talk about is called the SOAP method. It's very popular. It's S-O-A-P. It emphasizes personal application of the scripture. And I personally love this approach. And I feel that the more you do it, the easier it is to make it a habit on how to get the most out of your Bible reading time. So here's what each letter of SOAP stands for. S is for scripture. So ideally, you want to have a notebook with you and your Bible, okay? So you choose a passage of scripture that you want to study. It could be a single verse, a few verses, or even a longer passage, and you write down the passage that you've selected. There's a lot of studies out there that show that handwriting connects different parts of your brains together, your brain together, and it makes it more meaningful. You remember it better. You apply it in different areas. It's a fuller experience to actually write out what you're reading. And after you've written it down, then O is for observation. So you're going to read that passage carefully, maybe several times, and you're going to make observations about it, what it says. So you're going to look at the questions like who, where, what, why, you know, those kind of questions. You're like a little investigator, and you're considering the people involved, the setting, the key themes or the ideas, and you're going to write out your observations in your notebook. And then A is for application. So after you've read it, you've written it, you're thinking about it, and you're going to reflect on the passage. How does this apply to your life personally? What lessons can you learn from it? How can you apply its principles to your everyday life, to your relationships, to your circumstances? And then write down in your journal the specific ways that you can apply this scripture to your life today. And I promise you that if you go into this with prayer beforehand, or you have a certain topic really stuck on your mind, God will give you your answers. And then last is P for prayer. You want to close your study time with prayer. Thank God for the insights that you've gained from studying His Word. Ask for help in applying the scripture to your life and for the wisdom to live according to His will. Pray for any needs or concerns that have come up to into your mind during your study. That's the Holy Spirit working with your spirit. When you're in the Word of God or you're in that quiet time with the Lord, He's talking to you. He's talking to you through your spirit, and you're going to have things pop up in your mind and they're going to be random and you're going to be like, why? And that's, explore that. It very well could be something that God wants you to look at, to work at, to think about. Now, as far as this wisdom that I feel like we can get, God is very clear in His word. I'll give you two examples. In Ephesians 1 and 17, it says, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. God wants to be discovered. He wants us to reach out to Him and want to learn His wisdom. Not the wisdom of the world, not the wisdom of our brains or our minds or our souls, but His wisdom. He wants to share it with us. All we need to do is ask. In Colossians 1:9, Paul is talking to the people of Colossae, and he's saying, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. So if Paul can ask, He's showing us we can ask. So this SOAP method is simple. It's very effective, though, for engaging with the scripture in a meaningful way and applying its teachings to our lives. It encourages a balance between understanding the text and putting it into practice. Okay, so some people have some objections or stumbling blocks that they need to overcome that keep them from studying the Bible. I cannot tell you how many people in my life that say, I know I should be reading the Bible, but I just can't seem to make time. And that's our number one focus, lack of time. Many people lead busy lives. They claim that they don't have enough time to dedicate to Bible study among all their other commitments. And honestly, if you want it with your whole heart, you will find time to read the Word of God. And one thing that you can do is ask Him to convict you. But I always ask Him with gentleness and love because, you know, sometimes the truth hurts and it's a lot better if it's wrapped up in a hug, right? Okay, our second objection. Some people find the language and content of the Bible challenging to understand, and then they avoid studying it because they think it's really hard. I think this is a lovely little lie from the devil. The Bible is remarkably easy to read, depending on the translation you're reading. Now, if you're reading the Old King James, that's hard. And if you're not in it every day, you don't think like that, it's difficult. And that will slow you down. But there are translations that are like the New Living Translation. That one's written on a third grade level, okay? I think if you're reading, you can read on a third grade level. But if you want to do more studying of the text and not just kind of absorbing like in a story fashion, then you might want to look at other translations like the ESV or the NASB. But start simple. If you think it's difficult, download your Bible app. In the Bible app, you have your NLT, which is the New Living Translation. Click on there and then have it read it to you. If you can't read it, press the little microphone button and it will read it to you. You don't even have to read anymore. But honestly, if this is one of your hangups, pick one of the translations that works best for your brain. And what a great world we live in right now that we have so many choices. A couple of friends and I literally just got back a couple of hours ago from going down to Branson where they had this exhibit of how we got the Bible. And, you know, back in 1000 AD, they're going through the Dark Ages. And then we have 500 years of just life was hard. It was really hard. People didn't read. They didn't have copies of their Bible. But then we get to the year 1500, around that time where the printing press was invented. And the first thing they printed was the Bible. And it exploded. I mean, it was like new technology that just transformed people's abilities to know God's word. That was hard. That is a perceived difficulty back then. We don't have that now. That's really not something that should keep you from reading the word. Third, a lack of interest. For some people, the Bible doesn't hold a personal interest or relevance, and they may not feel motivated to study it. If you're feeling this way, but you know you should be, you're going to have to do some mindset work. You're going to have to discover what motivates you, what you're in it for, and you've got to make it personal to you. And once again, prayer. Number four, feeling overwhelmed. The sheer size and complexity of the Bible can be overwhelming for some individuals, leading them to not studying at all. And it is overwhelming. There are a lot of books, there are a lot of pages, and every book has a different meaning, and every verse or sets of verses or chapters have a lot in them. You could read the Bible your whole life and still not grasp everything that's in there. And rather than seeing that and allowing that to overwhelm you, take it as how awesome that God has made it that little children can read it and understand it, and people who have studying it every day of their lives as their career still never get everything out of it. And we won't get everything out of it until we get to heaven and we have more revelation. But what a gift that God has given us to have this complex yet easy to read book that tells us about human history, human personalities, human inclinations, all of this stuff. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, what I would suggest is start small. If you want to look in the Old Testament, the book of Obadiah, it only has 21 verses, okay? You can do that. I promise you can do that. And if you're wanting to read something in the New Testament, start with the book of Jude. It only has 25 verses. You can do it. I promise you can do it. And then finally, we're going to talk about people who are feeling spiritually dry or distant from God. And sometimes we have these challenges to engage with the Bible, and we can use it as an excuse to avoid studying it, to stop reading it. I have been here, friends. I can't tell you how many dry spells I have been through in my years as a Christian. And when I get stuck in these places, I feel lonely, confused, unloved, and unsure of my whole world. Life just feels hard. My number one piece of advice for you here is read it anyway. Remember, the Word of God is active and powerful. We cannot allow our emotions to separate us from the beautiful gift that He's given us. This is another tactic of Satan to get our eyes off of God and onto ourselves, onto our problems. Our minds are like vacuums. Something has to be taking up that space. And if it isn't God taking up that space, it's going to be our flesh, our hearts, our relationships, or anything else you can think of. Just see this dry spell as a temporary moment. It will pass. Just keep your head down. Keep praying and keep reading, and it will pass. So these are just a few examples of excuses. That's little Miss Charlotte. Sorry about that. That people might make to avoid studying your Bible. And each person's reasons, they're based on their own circumstances, their own beliefs and own experiences. Understanding what's keeping you from it is the first step. And then you can create a plan to overcome it. So, do you have people in your life that you want to encourage to study the Bible? Well, I've got five ways that you can do this. First, lead by example. Show your enthusiasm for studying the Bible by incorporating it into your own life. Share your experiences, your insights, the benefits that you've gained from studying Scripture. When others see your passion and commitment, they're going to feel inspired to explore the Bible themselves. Offer support and resources, just like I'm doing here today with you. I'm encouraging you to read your Bible, and I'm going to put resources in the show notes that are going to help you, give you something tangible to go forward with this goal of yours. You can offer to answer questions, discuss challenging passages, or provide guidance as you can. Create a welcoming environment. Foster a welcoming and inclusive atmosphere where people are going to feel comfortable in expressing their thoughts, their doubts, their questions about the Bible without fear of judgment. Encouraging open dialogue and a respectful discussion allows people to explore the Scripture at their own pace. Next, highlight the benefits. Share stories or testimonials of how studying the Bible has positively impacted your lives or the lives of others. Emphasize the spiritual nourishment, guidance, comfort, wisdom that can be found in Scripture, and help them see practical relevance of the Bible to their everyday lives. But mostly, pray for them. The work of the Spirit is beyond our control, but what we can do is pray. When you pray for that person, you're encouraging them to study. That's what your prayer should be. I am encouraging them to study. Ask God to open their heart and their mind to the truths found in Scripture, to give them understanding and clarity and draw them closer to Him so that they can study His Word and get out of it what He's got for them. Okay, So here's just one last thought I have for you to take away from this episode. Even as we're growing, as we are reading and studying our Bible, if we're not using that knowledge and taking it into the world to combat what's going on in our sphere of influence, we only have a theoretical faith. We don't have a practical faith. With a practical faith, we're absorbing the word to the point that you can contextualize it for your here and your now, for the people in your life, for the events that are going on around you, the things that you're hearing about in the news. The reason that you're learning what God has to say is so that you know what you need to be saying in this upside down world. It's time for us as Christians to become literate in the word, so we aren't nervous about sharing what God has said or done because we know him so well from his word. He loves us so much, and he wants others to know him too. And that's our job, to share him. But in order to tell others about him, we need to know about him. I hope you found some inspiration here, and I want to share with you a tool that I've created. I hope you found some inspiration here, and I want to share a tool with you that I've created to give you a way to start reading and absorbing your Bible. It's a template for the SOAP method that we talked about a minute ago, and I personally find this approach so very helpful in my study time, and I hope you do too. Well, that's all I have for today, my sweet friends. I want to remind you that I currently have a beta coaching package available at a beta price. So if you're interested in working with me as a life coach, as you process through some mindsets, things you'd like to change, habits you'd like to start, or helping figuring out how to motivate yourself, this is the perfect time to start that journey. I have a link in the show notes for a free discovery call to answer some of your questions regarding how I can help you. And I have a link to the landing page of my beta offer. Life is hard, friends, and we aren't made to do this thing alone. I would love to help you on your journey of discovering God's purpose. See you next week, and thanks so much for listening. If you've loved this episode, please share. The more of us that are in the right mindset, the more powerful we can be in God's kingdom work. Have a lovely week. I'll see you next time. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for being here with me, and I'm hoping that you received a word. Let me close with a passage of scripture. Rejoice in your confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. By doing this, sweet friend, you're going to find that you can take those thoughts captive and change that mindset and be anxious for nothing. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time.